Hey guys, welcome back to Unmastering Motherhood. This is Kelly Kaufman. I'm so glad you're tuning in today for part two of this awesome series on race and motherhood. I had the pleasure of sitting down with a fellow rockin' mom, Kara J. Cox of Momability, and we're just talking all things race and motherhood today. Stay tuned. I hope you love this episode as much as you've loved the rest of them. Kara is a Christian wife, mom of three boys, scholar, blogger, TEDx speaker, advocate for the differently abled. Kara juggles a lot of roles on an average day, and she gets through by the grace of God and the abilities he's given her. Oh, and laughter. She was voted biggest comedian her senior year of high school and has always taken that role very seriously. Whether she's folding piles of laundry, breaking up a wrestling match, or prepping for an ARD meeting, she is always looking for the humor and creativity in that moment. Her blog and Instagram account showcase this. So please engage with her online. She loves new followers and subscribers, especially if you're game for a good special needs mom life hack or crack at boy mom life or hilarious meme about parenting in a pandemic. You guys, she is seriously hilarious and she has the best memes. Can you say hello to everyone?
Hi, everyone. Thank you for asking me, Kelly.
Yes, I am so excited for part two of this podcast, Motherhood. I've gotten a lot of feedback from the first one, and I know this one is going to be just as great. So, Kara, before we get started, I want to play a little game called Give Me a Minute. You know, the kids are always asking us a lot of questions, and we're like, just give me 1 minute. So I thought this was a good name. So I want to see if you can answer 25 questions in under a minute.
Oh, wow.
And I think you can.
Okay. All right.
They're pretty simple.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Call or text?
Text.
Facebook or Instagram?
Instagram.
Lake or beach?
Beach.
Work hard, play hard?
Play hard.
All right. Now, this is for you. Gifts or memes?
Gifts or memes?
Memes.
You know,
memes.
Like, oh, God. Okay. Memes. Memes.
Yeah. Okay. Memes. You're the queen. Laundry or dishes?
Laundry.
All right. Toilet paper. Do you like it over or under?
Over.
Okay. At the movies, candy or popcorn?
Popcorn.
Save or spend?
These days, save.
Okay. TV, book?
TV.
Okay. What's your favorite show?
Oh, gosh. I love Netflix series. Any kind of really compelling series.
Gotcha.
Love it. Right now, I think my favorite show is Insecure on HBO, but it's over. So I
would. Yes, it's amazing.
Loved it.
Yes. What about your favorite movie?
Favorite movie is The Holiday with Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet.
Okay.
Loved it.
City or countryside?
City.
Okay. Mac or PC?
Mac.
Dine-in or delivery?
Delivery.
Lats or heels?
Flats.
Okay. Would you rather step on a Lego or MP?
Oh, that's a hard one.
I know.
Think a Lego.
Okay. Would you give up wine or give up coffee?
Wine.
Okay. Would you rather shop or shower in peace?
Shower.
Clean up poop or puke?
Well, that's actually an easy one. We have a deal in our house. It's poop. I cannot handle vomit. I can't.
Oh my gosh. I get it. Okay. Oh. Sleep in or take a nap?
I think sleep in.
Okay. And last one. Would you rather, what is this? I can't even see what I wrote. Clean up paint or glitter?
Paint. You can't really clean up glitter. Glitter is just there.
It'll be there all week for real.
Or longer.
Maybe even a month later.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for pointing that. I mean, you were like right on time.
A couple of them were hard.
Yeah, they were. I mean, I had to think twice for myself. But we're going to have to talk about that Mac or PC because I've been thinking about Mac, but I've tried it once and I don't know. I just couldn't really get into it, but I want to try something new. And so does my daughter. So we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and jump into the topics.
All right.
Today, like I said, we're going to be talking about race and motherhood. Let's jump right into how we know each other. And then I'd love for you to share your diagnosis experience.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So I know Kara from the Down Syndrome Diagnosis Network. I am actively following her on Instagram and I love her Instagram page. Earlier I asked her if she likes memes or gifts because she is definitely the queen of memes.
I laugh memes.
Every time I see one. They are so funny. You pick the best ones supposed to.
Thank you.
I mean, you do. So yes, let's go ahead. And first question, did you have a prenatal or postnatal diagnosis?
We had a postnatal diagnosis.
Okay.
Our story is kind of interesting because we did the testing ahead of time and the test results were wrong. It wouldn't have mattered either way, but
yeah.
I feel like there was an extra layer of surprise for us because we had done some testing ahead of time, but it was a birth diagnosis.
And like walk us through that day, like your emotions, how you were feeling.
Oh, wow. Well, Everett was 5 weeks early, so there was already a lot of surprise to that. He is our first and oldest child. So this was my first experience being pregnant, having a baby, having labor pains, everything. Okay. So I started feeling kind of funny, kind of bad on a Sunday. And I just thought, you know what, this is 5 weeks early. This is going to be Braxton Hicks. I'm just going to ride this out. It's going to be fine.
For sure. Yeah.
And then I was doubled over in pain. And my husband was like, I think this might be something bigger than Braxton Hicks. So we went to the OBER. We live in the city. So we're kind of close to our medical resources.
Okay.
So just right around the corner, headed to the OBER. Fully expecting them to say, go home, Braxton Hicks, false labor, go head on home, but being safe and double checking. And so we went in, they checked us out, checked me out and told me you are dilated 6 centimeters and you need to get ready to have a baby. And I said, no, I am not. I told her, you better make it go back.
Exactly. Oh my God.
She died laughing. She said, yeah, it doesn't really work that way.
Wow.
So then I started crying, you know, my child's going to be in the NICU. He's 5 weeks early. And I'd heard horror stories about, you know, being a parent in the NICU with your newborn. And so it was just a whole flood of emotions. And, you know, meanwhile, we're thinking this baby's, you know, got the typical number of chromosomes. We didn't know he was going to be born with Down syndrome. But eventually they put me in a labor and delivery room and it was Memorial Day, but my doctor called in to check on me and decided she would be very gracious and come up and deliver my baby for me, even though it was her day off. She's amazing. and when he was born, of course, you know, we're all taking pictures, we're looking, and I just noticed something. There was something with his eyes. I just noticed it. But I thought, you know, our baby is mixed race. So is this related to something else or is this, I kind of blew it off. I think this is just related to him being mixed race. And then they took him and did all the little tests, the Apgar test and all that and brought him back. And my doctor said, so I'm suspecting Down syndrome. And I mean, the floor just fell out beneath me. There's a lot actually that I don't remember. I feel like I just kind of blacked out. There were moments of just blackout throughout the rest of that morning, but she was very gracious. She said, she said, you know, I want you to know right now because it's Memorial Day and we need to get him tested. And I don't want you sitting around worrying about a test for weeks on end because things got backed up because today is a holiday. So I'm telling you this because I want you to know I'm ordering a test for him. And we're going to get that test done and get those results as soon as we can. She said, you know, I've been wrong before, but he has a lot of characteristics. Yeah. And I was just like, wow. And I think I asked for my mom. I wanted my husband to go get my mom at that point.
Yeah.
And then she had to deliver a few more babies that day. And our nurse came in. And unfortunately, my doctor was very gracious, but the nurse that came in after her was just, she was a piece of work. She was a piece of work. I don't know any other way to say it, but
yeah,
she,
I get it.
She told us that my doctor was giving us false hope. And that we needed to realize right now. I mean, this is within minutes after my baby was born. She wanted us to know right now, your baby has Downs and you need to face that. And she was pretty awful before Everett was even born. Hmm. She was very interested in what we were going to name our baby since he was our first one. And she asked us what we were thinking and we shared some of the names we were thinking. And we really were leaning towards Everett, which is the name we picked. And she did not like that name. I remember she told me, she said, you know, you might want to think about the name Emmett because that's really more in line with his racial background than Everett. And really rubbed me and my husband both the wrong way. But we didn't say anything. We just thought she's socially awkward, you know.
But oh my gosh,
she was a piece of work. She really kind of took over and I don't know. She kind of stole those moments from me looking back, those moments when I should have been enjoying being a new mom and having a new baby. I was being traumatized by this person.
Yeah. But she really put a damper on it. And isn't it so crazy that all of us moms that have kids with special needs, like we all can tell you about a story where something really hurt us, you know?
Oh, yes. That
I don't think a lot of other moms have the experience. It's super
awkward. Especially in those early days. I feel like once they get bigger, you've got thicker skin and you know how to respond better. But in those moments where it's just fresh and raw, I tell new moms all the time, give yourself a year or maybe even more. Yeah. But it took me about a full year to just come to grips with everything and then own it and advocate.
But
everybody's journey is different.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
So one last thing about Down syndrome, and I just want to point this out because I say this on my Instagram all the time. For my Unmastering Motherhood podcast, it is for all moms, whether you have a kid with Down syndrome or a kid with autism or your kid has no other special needs. So I just wanted to make that clear. But anytime that I have a mom on that does have a kid with special needs, I always want them to share their birth experience or their diagnosis experience, just because I think it's so important that, you know, we continuously advocate and let people see our journeys.
Absolutely. That first conversation shapes the bigger conversations about
it does.
Disability. So,
yeah. And I think people can take away, although they're not a doctor, maybe they'll realize, like, when I have a friend that has a child with special needs, I'll know, like, what not to say, you know, or just to be a little more sensitive or caring about the whole situation. So I like people to hear those stories. All right. And then looking back, what would you tell yourself on that day? Your younger self, I should say.
Gosh, I think about that all the time, actually. I would tell myself on that day to just focus on your baby. Just you have a new baby. I would say everything is going to be fine. Love your baby and focus on your baby and enjoy being a new mom. And my parents did tell me that. My dad especially told myself and my husband, you know, everything's going to be fine. He said that.
Oh yeah.
And he was right.
That's awesome.
He was right.
He's so right. So I want you to take a little time, share about your family, share about your blog, and you can go ahead and even give us the handles for your Instagram and your blog page as well.
My blog and Instagram accounts are one and the same, so that makes it really easy. I'm @ Mama MAMA Ability blog. Yeah, Mama Ability blog on Instagram. And then my website, my blog website is MamaAbility.com. So keeps it pretty easy. I think Momability had been taken on Instagram, so I had to go with Momability blog, but that's okay.
Okay, gotcha. We know it's you.
Yeah, exactly.
We're following the right one. So Kara, share a little bit about your family, your husband, your children, your job, and how you really got into blogging.
We have a unique little family. My husband is from Panama, and he is has a multiracial background. And we met through friends about 15 years ago, and we dated, and I think for 5 years. Yeah, for 5 years we dated, got engaged. We were engaged for a year, and then we've been married ever since. Been married 9 years. Wow. So, yeah, we've spent a lot of time with each other in our adult years. But he is just an amazing guy. He currently is the trying to think of his title, the vice president. I could be saying this wrong. I think it's VP of marketing and development at a local nonprofit here in Fort Worth, Texas called Hope Farm Inc. And so he does most of the marketing and fundraising, all of the marketing and fundraising. He has a lot of help too, but for this nonprofit, and it's for African-American boys who are fatherless. So there's a lot of research. It is awesome. It's the greatest organization ever, but there's a lot of research that, Black American young men are more likely to end up incarcerated if they're fatherless. So this program steps in and gives them Christ-centered mentoring through after-school care program. Right now, they're, you know, all day because there is no after-school. It's virtual school, so they're checking in all day. But it's just a really great program here.
That is awesome. Do they have an Instagram page? Because I would love to look that
they
up.
They do. And they have a Facebook page too. I'll share it. I'll be glad to share it with you after this. I don't remember the, I think it's just at Hope Farm Inc. But I could be wrong about that.
Yeah. I'll share about that on the page as well.
Cool.
Tell us about those kiddos too.
He's a great guy. And we have three boys. We've got Everett, who is our oldest with Down syndrome. He's 7 now. And our middle child, Liam, is 5. And then the baby, Alec, is 2.5. So we've got our hands full with some little.
Oh, yeah. And yes. I didn't even realize that our boys are that close in age, the same. Because I have a 5-year-old and then a 3-year-old.
So, I know.
I feel you over there, mama.
They remind me a lot of my older two. They are just the best of friends. But they fight too.
Yes, and I love
yours,
it. Oh yeah.
Yours do that too.
Of course. Every day. Yes. But well,
I'm also a college, my husband does the Hope Farm stuff, and I'm a college professor at University of Dallas. It's a private university. It's actually in Irving, but it's called University of Dallas. Okay. And I teach business communication courses there, and I teach a research class and a graduate level writing class to our DBA students. But I also blog. That's a hobby of mine. It's not my full-time gig, but it is something I love to do. And I started blogging 4 years ago when I just felt like I needed a space to kind of talk about, you know, raising a child with Down syndrome. And it's interesting because about 4 years ago, everything just felt very different to me. It felt like I was experiencing life differently, and I just had this different perspective, and it was kind of isolating. So I wanted a blog space where I could post about our experiences and share information for other parents who might feel the same way. But now that Everett is 7, I've really started blogging about different things. It's kind of more of a lifestyle blog because life with Down syndrome is just life now. Before, Down syndrome was kind of foreground and everything else was background. But now it just seems like life is foreground and Down syndrome is background. And so I just now tell about our lives. And Everett's in the photos. He's in the blog posts about ice cream, just like my other two kids. And so it's just kind of an interesting turn. I had a friend tell me the other day that 7 is the magic age for kiddos with Down syndrome. And I was like, I cannot agree more because there's been a big shift in his behavior recently that's been positive. It's easier to do that and not feel isolated and different. But there's still moments though.
Yeah, of course. That's so interesting you said that because I used to share so much about Cree in the beginning on Facebook. I even like made his own little blog page and It was great. You know, I got a lot of response from it. A lot of new moms would write me. I kind of feel I should keep it up, and I do post there occasionally, but it's just what you said. Like, I feel like I'm just living life now, you know, yeah. And advocacy is just like weaved in, and I'm just sharing my whole life, yep. And Cree is in my life. So I don't necessarily feel the need to point it out. Although people are really interested though.
Yeah. So,
you know, I'm sharing as much as I can, but for me personally, I would like people to know that it really takes an effort to, for me to like highlight Cree, because it's just, he's just, I don't think twice about it, you know, on a day-to-day base.
You just don't think about it as much. It's very true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Mm-hmm. Only when school topics come in, you know, yeah, that's when I am talking about it.
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's jump in and let's weave race into motherhood and get started. So our first question, you kind of shared earlier about even just someone making a statement about a name. So I'm pretty sure that you've had some experience, but how does your family discuss race?
Our kids are pretty little, so we haven't really reached that point where we have had a sit down serious conversation about it, but we know that that's coming. And you know, there's kind of low key pressure with that, thinking about how we're going to address that eventually. But right now they're little, and their school is very diverse. So it's that's not like they are the only children with brown skin at their school. Good. They blend in.
Yes.
But you know, when we do start encountering less diverse situations, we know that we might have to have conversations with them about that, but we do a pretty good job of keeping a diverse circle of friends and family members. Yeah. And you know, obviously our families are diverse. So there's that, but we actually tried to show them the whole Sesame Street race relations on CNN last June. And it was a huge fail, huge fail. I didn't think about it. Well, it ended up being Zoom Sesame Street. So the characters were all talking to each other, and I should have seen that coming, but they were just not into it at all. And turned into a fight. We're watching something different. And I was like, okay, maybe we should save this intense conversation for a later date.
But that's good. You know, just like you said, making sure that your circle is diverse is one of the first steps that we can do.
It's huge.
You know, when we go to church, at school, just the friends that you have come over to your home. That's really, really key. For me, my daughter, you know, we just moved back to Indiana a couple months ago, and she first brought it to our attention because the schools are definitely not diverse. And we've just noticed it, you know, even more with all of the racial things that are going on right now, all in the news. It has really brought a lot forth in our district. And I almost kind of feel bad that I didn't, you know, find a more diverse community, because it's tough, like with teenagers. And then I just a teacher of any other race. In fact, the school that they're going to go to has no diversity when it comes to their teachers and staff. Like, everybody is white. And not that it's an issue, but it's just like, I'm hoping that our school district does better with just hiring, because those little things do make a difference, you know, on a day, especially when your kids are in school most of the day, you know? So
they really do.
Yeah, it's something that we're going to be working closely with our on, but that's really important. How would you say race has impacted your family?
Oh, gosh. I went through these questions last night with my husband. I was like, okay, I want you to help me not say, you know, insensitive things or the wrong thing. And he finally told me, he said, look, this is your podcast. This is your perspective. Mm-hmm. And this is about you being in an interracial marriage. It's not about me. He's done his own podcast before. So, but it does impact our family. It's something that we don't think about a whole lot. It's just sort of like Everett having Down syndrome and that just becoming a part of our family fabric And we just, you just don't think about it a whole lot until, like you said, school comes up and then you're like, oh, okay. Yeah there are differences. And so obviously with the racial tension that's going on across the U.S. right now, and, you know, the media and social media, posting story after story, it's definitely something we've been thinking about a lot. But even before that, it's something that would pop up every once in a while. I don't think it's affected our kids a whole lot. But there have been moments where I've learned from my husband, you know, his perspective and, you know, how it impacts him. But then there's moments where I've seen the lessons firsthand. Like when we were at a tailgate, my husband's a huge tailgater. He went to he graduated from a private university called TCU here in Fort Worth. And so since we live right by the university, of course he has access to tailgating at his alma mater every football season. So when we were, we've been dating a few years. We went out to one of his tailgates, and he generally tailgated with the Letterman's Club at TCU, which at first I was like, wow, you're really popular amongst, you know, the athletes at TCU. And he said, well, you know, it's a pretty conservative, pretty white university. And so the only other brown people on campus were athletes, and people used to always ask him if he was an athlete. And so he just he kind of got pushed into the athlete group. And that was, that was one of my first learning experiences. I remember thinking, wow, that is, that's really interesting. And he said, you know, it was either that or join a frat. And I'm not really a frat kind of guy. So we would hang out with the Lettermen at these tailgates, and they were all different races. And there was music, loud music, boom boxes, you know, all that kind of stuff. Jam, old school jam boxes. This is about 10 years ago or so, but there was, somebody was playing some rap music. I don't actually, I know who it was, but it was loud and it was really explicit. There were some explicit lyrics for sure. I heard them. And this woman, I walked up to my boyfriend at the time, my husband now, and just started screaming at him and said, you need to turn your rap music down. Those lyrics are explicit and there are children around here, and you need to turn that rap music down right now. And before he could even say anything, I got right in her face and I said, do you see that white guy over there named Shelby? It's his music. So go tell him to turn it down. Cause I agreed with her. It was loud, and it was, I mean, there were kids around, but I wish that just made me so mad. And so there have been a few, and he just blew it off. He was like, yeah, whatever, you know? But there's been moments like that where it just, it's the lessons that he has taught me are just right there. So it's kind of like, you know, when people say strange things about Down syndrome, you've got to learn how to low key play it cool, but teach them a lesson. So I've learned over the years how to be more articulate and graceful about it. But I was not articulate or graceful in that moment. I was right back in her face.
And I would assume, you know, the same thing will happen if one day your children are faced with, you know, even having a racial encounter, that you'll be that mama bear and raise up. You know? Do you feel like you have any, or do you feel like race impacts any decisions that you have to make for your family? At this point?
Again, it's kind of one of those things you don't think about until someone asks you a question, which is why my husband and I had a lot of fun actually working through these questions last night. But he said no, that he didn't think race impacted a lot of the decisions we make as a family. But I thought into it harder, and I do think that race has impacted the way we make decisions. And it's less obvious because they're kind of smaller everyday decisions, and it becomes a part of your family life and you just don't think about it. But there is kind of a mental load that goes along with it. But just some examples are, this is kind of a silly example. It's a trivial one, but it is one. Before we got engaged, I found myself in a situation where I needed a new hairstylist. And I actively made the decision to go to a local stylist that I'd heard very good things about, but I also knew that he could do all kinds of hair, all the different hair textures. And I remember thinking, when Victor and I get married and have children, he will be able to help me with different hair textures that I'm not familiar with. And then we ended up having three boys, and you just shave their heads. There's nothing really to it with boys, but it's little decisions like that, that you carry with you as you raise kids. And like we talked about earlier, it's just kind of that simmering pressure beneath the surface of how mm-hmm. are we going to talk to our kids about this? Are we going to be on the offense yeah. about it, or are we going to be on yeah. the defense? And so I've been paying attention to a lot of different accounts where moms mm-hmm. are talking about how to talk about race with their children. So yes. yeah, a lot of, cool. yeah. Cause I don't know. And I rely on my husband a lot for advice in that yeah. area. And my in-laws are mm-hmm. a wealth of support and advice. So
yeah. And that's good that you have that support, but it's also even greater that you're taking that extra step to make sure that you have those resources that you can go to as well, you know, because of course your husband and, you know, you and your husband are going to have those intimate conversations about those things, but, you know, just having your own kind of background knowledge about it is sure. great too. That kind of leads me into the next question, which is, do you or will you have conversations around identity, and what kind of tools or info do you use to have those conversations? But, and you kind of already pointed out, you know, following a lot of the social media blogs. If there are any books or anything that you've read or interested in, you can share those too.
I have not come across any current books. I've seen moms okay. talk about books that they have on their bookshelves and they've had them for mm-hmm. years, and you can't really find them on Amazon or online bookstores mm-hmm. right now. But we do yes. have a lot of books that just have good representation. That's my, it's mm-hmm. a huge criteria for me with a kid's book. It's, you've got to sure. have representation of different races, different ethnic mm-hmm. backgrounds, different abilities. I love the Otto books, which are kind of old.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there's one where it's okay to be tall and it's okay to be mm-hmm. small, and it doesn't outwardly yeah. point to race or ability.
Yeah.
But it does. It teaches you it's okay to be different in any way. Yes. So we have yes. a lot of books like those. But we do talk, teach them about identity in kind of subtle ways because they're so mm-hmm. little, but
yeah,
I would say music and food are kind of our big, here's how we're going to teach you who you are. I mean, they get
gotcha.
All the classic Texas foods because we live mm-hmm. in Texas, but when we go and spend time with their grandparents in San Antonio, they're my husband's relatives. They eat all of the good Panamanian foods that my mm-hmm. husband was raised on. His mom loves to cook delicious Latin cuisine. It's very good. They don't always eat it because, well, they don't always eat it because they're picky.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah. you want nuggets instead, but she tries and I support it yeah. for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah. also I would say music is huge in our house, and we listen to a variety of music. We listen to salsa music, all mm-hmm. kinds of Latin music that my husband grew up listening mm-hmm. to in Panama, but he also really loves R&B and jazz. We listen to a lot of that. Yeah. But then yeah. my 5-year-old just loves like Led Zeppelin and mm-hmm. Queen and anything with an air
that's
guitar.
That's really cool.
So, I mean, I feel like those three areas really kind of touch on different aspects of their identity. And at some point we'll point that out, say, you know, yeah. this is this kind of music and here's what this means. And, you know, your mm-hmm. dad listened to this kind of music when he lived in Panama and this reminds him of this. And yeah. your mom listened to this when she was in college and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So music and food are kind of where we're at for now, but eventually we'll have more direct conversations about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. It's so hard. I can imagine, you know, having children that are mixed race, and you have to have those conversations eventually when they reach, you know, a certain age. I have friends and family that are in interracial relationships, and that's, you know, those kind of conversations, you know, come up a little more frequently when they have children. And, I actually have friends that are, mixed race, and, you know, they talk a lot about how hard it is for them to identify because, you know, to one group of people, they want to say this, and then to the other group, they want to say that. But then they also want to just live in their truth that they are mixed race. So I do think that's important. And I understand, you know, they may not be ready for a full on conversation around it, but it's good to know that you guys have those kind of things planned out because it will be important for them to know their history and
absolutely.
Their background and all that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So with all the racial tension and issues going on in America, how would you say that has impacted the way that you are currently parenting or may parent in the future?
Well, I think it's small things like let's watch the Sesame Street and let's the episode on CNN and let's talk about race to them. But behind the scenes, it's us sort of hatching a plan of we do. We've been going through a lot of what ifs recently. That's a common when the kids go to bed and there's nothing good to watch on Netflix. I mean, we're which running is rare. Out. We're well, we've gone through everything these days. There's nothing new coming out, so we're just addicted to TV shows like that. But we have conversations like that a lot. You know, what if someone says something like this to Liam? But I mean, I would assume similar to your family, we also have to talk about what if somebody says this to Everett and what, and so it's really complex when you start thinking about unpacking disability and race and interracial marriage and it gets complicated. But we have those conversations.
Even us just being a Black family, not having interracial kids, we have those what ifs. Like my husband is always like, Kelly, why do you have to give me so many scenarios? I love a scenario. I need to know how you would react, what you think is appropriate, because these day and ages, you just don't know, you know. And I just want to be prepared as I can be. If my child asks me this, or if this comes up or that comes up, I mean, because I know as a teacher, kids really do ask questions.
Yes, they ask do. A lot.
So you know, I'm used to saying, "Ask your mom." So I know if those kids were asking me, then I know that my own are going to ask me those questions one day. So
exactly,
definitely being prepared. That's what we have to do as parents.
Yep.
What have you learned from being married to someone of a different race than yourself?
He has taught me so much, and it's one of the things that I love about him. It's very rare that I'm not trying to sound arrogant or anything, but it's very rare that I find someone that just challenges me like that.
Yeah.
But he really does. And it's not just race and racial differences. Yeah. It's just, it's really more personality and values and intellect and our common ground that really supersedes race, I think. But I have learned through him. I mean, I will never experience life exactly like him. And I don't want to ever lead anyone to believe that I think that. I do not. But I have learned a lot. And I think one of the earliest learning experiences I learned from him was, I can't remember exactly where we were or what we were doing, but he pointed out that another Black person walked into the room. I think we were visiting a church, and it was a predominantly white church, which I don't know what it's like in Indiana with churches, but I feel like churches are still very segregated.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And so he was at church with me. I got the church that we were visiting, I think, but it was predominantly white, and another Black person or a Black family appeared, and he pointed it out to me. And I thought, how strange that he would notice another Black family or another Black person. That just seems so strange to me. And I brought it up to him later and said, why did you point that out? And he said, well, do you remember when you came home from a meeting last week and you were the only woman in the room and how it made you feel awkward? And I said, yes, I do remember that. And he said, that's pretty much how I feel all the time. There's 50%. He said, you're a woman. And I mean, that's definitely, you know, you're in the minority in a lot of workplaces. He said, but there's 50% of you are out there. He said, there's not 50% of Black men out there in society right now. And he used numbers like that, and it just blew my mind. That's, what must that feel like? That must be a very interesting, but also kind of isolating feeling to have. So that's just one. He's taught me a lot of different stuff, though.
That's a good one that you pointed out, because that is definitely one that we experience where we live. We've always gone to a church that is very diverse. When we lived in Virginia, that was really, really important to us. And coming to Indiana, that has been a little hard. We found one that we love that is diverse, but I think we're kind of holding on to our Virginia church, and like we're like nothing so great. But we have found a church here that we do like as well. So I mean, but yeah, there are plenty of rooms that I've entered in where I'm the only Black person, and then when I see another Black person, I mean, if I don't go up to that person, like we're waving, I'm smiling, like I see, you know, it's something that happens. And unfortunately, you know, we do experience that a lot. So
sure,
it was good that, you know, you guys were able to talk about that and he could explain that feeling a little bit more, and you were able to relate as a female, because we're often not high in numbers as well in the workplace. So I can do that as well.
Yep. So now I help him. I'll say, look, oh, there's another mixed race family. Oh, look, there's another Black family that's coming. Yeah. And so now I'm in on it with him. I don't have the same standpoint, but I'll help
you get it too.
I'm on the lookout too. So
yeah. Yeah. And I can definitely see that.
And obviously when we see somebody with Down syndrome, we're always like, another child with Down syndrome, another adult with Down syndrome.
Yeah. Now let me ask you this on the side. So if you see a family out, do you make it a point to go and speak to them, or are you kind of laid back?
A mixed race family or a family with Down syndrome?
A family with Down syndrome.
I'm kind of laid back, and I found myself a few years ago staring at a family who had a child with Down syndrome who I could tell was just like a year ahead of Everett. So you're always like, okay, what are they doing? Will Everett be doing that in a year? And then I realized I was one of those rude people staring. And I finally decided I need to stop getting mad at people staring, because it could be that they just have a loved one with Down syndrome. Yes. And that's why
they want to talk to you.
Right. So sometimes I do. And sometimes it's low key, but it just kind of depends on the circumstances. But I've had people run up to me and just start flashing pictures of their child with Down syndrome on their phone to me. And, can I hold your baby? Whenever it was a baby. Yes. I'm like, no.
Yeah. I just met people you. Have done it to me too. For sure. And I actually did it to someone yesterday, like, because Cree wasn't with me and Travis. And I was like, Travis, he has Down syndrome. I'm going to pull up a phone. You hurry up and check out. I'm going to go talk to this mom. And so I just said, excuse me, guys, you know, because he was 20. So I wanted to talk to both of them and not just his mom. But I was just like, oh, I just wanted to let you know that I have a son with Down syndrome. And then I introduced myself to her son and showed him a picture of Cree. And then we just started talking. And she just asked me a whole bunch of questions, and it was just great. And then at the end of the conversation, she was like, I'm really glad that you came up and talked to me, because a lot of people don't ask questions. And then I don't meet a lot of moms because my son is older now. And she was just like, I'm just so happy that you, you know, stopped to talk to me. And I was like, of course. So I think when I see a person with Down syndrome, I always try to like go talk to them now, because I did it a little bit when Cree was first born, but I was a little scared, because, you know, sometimes you look at kids or a person and you don't really know if they have Down syndrome. I kind of like, I feel like I have it down now, but when you have it like a baby, I'm like, I don't know.
No, it's a lot harder to tell with babies, but I'm more of an introvert. So I kind of stay a little quieter, but my 5-year-old now is, he like points at people, look, he's Downs. I'm like, okay, I'm a failure as an advocate here.
Oh, gosh. Because
first of all, you don't point, and he's not Downs. Yeah. He has Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And
Yes,
but just wait till your youngest, he gets in on the action and starts figuring it out.
Yes, I'm hoping he gets there, because we haven't really like, we talk about it to Knox, like, you know, Cree has Down syndrome, but he just doesn't get it right now. He's too young. But like, I even showed them some pictures of other people with Down syndrome. And, you know, Knox is just like, oh, she's so cute, or he's so cute. I'm like, do you think he looks like Cree? And he's like, no, I don't think so. I'm like, okay, he doesn't see it yet, but I'm sure he will.
My youngest.
He'll be a great advocate.
Oh, he will. My youngest, I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm in all the Down syndrome groups, and I'll be scrolling through pictures, and my 2-year-old will walk up and look at my phone. Is that Everett? I'm like, stop it. Stop. Oh, I mean, just so fueling that stereotype about people with Down syndrome all looking the same.
Well, I mean, at least he can,
they're kids.
You know, I don't think it's a bad thing.
No.
He just acts like he doesn't see it yet. So I don't know what it is. Maybe he hasn't seen enough people with Down syndrome yet.
He'll get there. You'll know when it's the right time to talk about that stuff. Yep.
No, for sure. All right. Let's end it on this last question. Do you feel people see... Someone asked me this, so I was like, you know, this is a great question. Do you feel people see your son's race or diagnosis first and then explain what you think?
That is a really interesting question. I think with... I mean, just... It really made me think when I read it. But a resounding, they see his disability first. They see Down syndrome first. No question about that. And Everett is he's very interesting. And when he was born, I think there was a lot of confusion about his diagnosis, but also about him being mixed race, and how I think everybody had a vision of what Everett was going to look like being a mixed race baby. Yeah. He does not fit into that mold. He's got hair like mine. It's very fine. He's got great hair. It's so thick.
It's so cute.
But it's so, it's just, there's not a bend in his hair. It's so, it's straight. Mm-hmm. It's straighter than my hair. Even I get some waves mm-hmm. in my hair. And when he was born, he was so fair. His skin was just so yeah. fair. So I think there was just a lot of confusion there because he was a mixed race and we think he might have Down syndrome. So what's going on with mm-hmm. all that? But yeah. I discovered recently that on several of his charts, he's marked Caucasian. And I showed my husband, yes. And I showed my husband that. And he, that's one of the first times I've seen him kind of bristle up. And uh-huh. he said, well, I feel like yeah. That's inaccurate. I get why mm-hmm. that's the case, but it's inaccurate. And there are medical reasons as to why mm-hmm. multiple boxes should be checked for Everett.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Everett, he does not look like a mixed race child to me in a lot of ways. So yeah. I think people, although people do say he looks Hispanic, which I mean, my yeah. husband's Panamanian. So, I mean, there's yeah. that, but it's so strange. It's such a strange yeah. thing to talk about. Yeah. And you should have seen people.
No, it's not. But I think because you are, I mean, of course, everyone's going to see them differently, but it's interesting the way you answered the question. Cause I did ask this to Mika, who is Black, and she said race first before the diagnosis. I feel like they see probably race before the diagnosis, but it's interesting that you say, you think people see the diagnosis before race. It's very interesting. And I mean, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
But like when I look at your kids, I do think that they look mixed. I don't see like Caucasian, like right away. I do feel like they look mixed or maybe Spanish.
Okay.
I don't know. So it's interesting that everybody sees people so differently now, but I mean, the world is definitely a melting pot. It could be because I am Black. So maybe I just see it a little more. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe.
You know?
But
yeah, it's interesting how people view everything differently.
I do think Everett mm-hmm. too, though, has pretty pronounced physical characteristics of Down syndrome. So his eyes okay. especially are mm-hmm. just the most almondy of almond shaped.
Gotcha. Yeah, that can make a difference. Yeah.
I think he's got that. Mm-hmm. And he's also very quiet. He's gotcha. Not as verbal as your typical mm-hmm. child his size. And he's even kind of growing into this build of his body type that is, I think, very in line with adults and young men with Down okay. syndrome. I can kind of see like gotcha. A longer torso and shorter mm-hmm. legs, gotcha. Which has always been the case, but it becomes more pronounced, I think, as they yes. get bigger. But, you know, I do want to add, since I'm doing this podcast, people with Down syndrome are built very differently. It's not
for sure.
always a cookie cutter. We have a friend named yes. Brett, who is mm-hmm. so tall and lanky and just mm-hmm. his just body shape wise. He will probably be taller than his parents. I mean, he is tall. So yeah. you just never know.
And, you know, I think a lot of people always feel that people with Down syndrome are a little more heavier set. And that's not always the case.
No, it's not.
I always say that to my doctors about Cree. Like, I want Cree to be chunky. And they're like, well, actually, you probably don't, just for medical reasons. He's at a good, you know, pace. He might seem very small right now, but, you know, he's doing well medically. So, I mean, he's good. But I'm like, he just seems like a little baby to me. Cree and Knox has just recently surpassed Cree. Cree for a while was taller than Knox, heavier yeah. than Knox. And now Knox has 10 pounds over him. So
that happened with my older two right around the same age. So Cree is 5. Is that what you said?
Yes, Cree is 5 and Knox 3.
3. So right around that same mm-hmm. age, Liam and Everett looked very twin-like in terms of their yes. height. And so now it's kind of a race. Every once in a while, Everett's a little yes. taller, and then every once in a while, Liam catches up. And but gotcha. I almost asked you that whenever I was putting together all the social media stuff for our collaboration. Uh-huh. But I went ahead and yeah. just stalked you and dug a little bit deeper because I was like, I don't want to be insensitive. Because it always kind of hurt yeah. me a little bit when people would ask me that question. Are they twin? Somebody gotcha. Just the other day yeah. said, oh, so he's the oldest. And they pointed to my middle. Yeah. I was like, no, he's not.
Yeah.
he's yeah. just really tall.
I definitely get that.
His brother's kind of yeah. short.
mm-hmm.
yeah. So people think they're
twins all the time.
yeah.
I think, yeah, like you said, maybe once Cree gets about 7 and Knox by then is probably really going to be bigger than Cree.
Yeah.
So it'll be like no more twin questions.
It's going to happen either eventually way. For sure.
yeah.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
So funny. These were really good questions, Kelly. Thank you for
having this conversation today.
Sure. Thank you again for asking me. It was a lot of fun. And I mean, at minimum, it gave me and my husband some really interesting things to talk about last night. have a nice conversation. We had a really great conversation about it all, actually.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I think that's a good takeaway from this, you know, that these conversations are here to stay. And sometimes they may make you feel uncomfortable, or you might feel like you don't have the right things to say, because honestly, I don't feel like I have the right things to say. And, you know, not everyone feels the same way about things. And but I do feel like for us having kids with special needs, it also is like an added layer. We kind of, you know, get it a little bit more that we're already having to have these conversations about our kids and how they're different.
Yep.
So, you know, let's just keep the conversations going and just keep learning and growing. That's all we can do.
I totally agree. And this podcast series is such a great example of that. You're doing a really great job with all this.
Good. Thank you so much. And one last time, go ahead and share your Instagram. You guys don't forget to follow Kara at Momability.
It's at Momability blog on Instagram, and then momability.com on my blog website. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks, Kara.
Thank you, Kelly.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to like this episode, subscribe to it, and share it with your friends. You can literally send the link by text to your friends, your families, your coworkers, whoever. Help me get the word out about A Mastering Motherhood, like many of you are already doing. I truly, truly thank you for all the support. If you're on Facebook, you can follow me. I'm not that active on Facebook. I'm a little more of an Instagram girl right now. So you can always follow me on Instagram at momofthree, the number three, Kelly, K-E-L-L-I, and the letter C. I'm very active in my stories. I try to fill those up throughout the day of, you know, just random things. Me, my kids, my hubby, whatever we're doing at the current moment. So that's always fun. And you can check out our podcast page at Unmastering Motherhood. And if you ever have any questions, feel free to DM me. But you can also email me at unmasteringmotherhood@gmail.com. I really hope you guys have a great rest of your week.